Karen Armstrong. Guy Falcon.
Here.
Seth and Griburn Chimenez. Frank Hay.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Stan Karofsky.
Here.
Richard Levine.
Here.
George Palmer. Steve Trumbly.
Here.
Under C, approve the agenda. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Open the floor for public comment. There's any anyone that would wish to address the board. Yes.
Mr. Crosby, unfortunately I couldn't make the last meeting of the Brandon Valley again. I made a request in reference to the company and or the engineering individual that had condemned the bleachers after the alleged incident with the individual. And I asked whether or not I could be informed of who that was. And unfortunately, I haven't received a phone call as to who that might be. And I understand there's possibly no constraints as far as time limits as to when I should be able to receive those. But I guess my next best opportunity to at least get those would probably put that in writing and then make that request that way. Last time I was here, it was a couple of weeks ago, there was a question in reference to attendance of the individuals. Mr. Levine brought it up. And is this, if it's possible, could I get a copy of the board members who attended each of these board meetings for the last 12 months as a possibility?
You're allowed to request that.
Okay.
Yes.
And I was privileged to be able to view some of the minutes that were on the internet from some of the meetings. And unfortunately, on that particular meeting that was held on the 23rd, when we had a rather lengthy concern about the bleachers and stuff, there wasn't really anything there in the minutes, indicating during public comment that those concerns were at least being, addressed. And one of the other concerns were that I didn't notice anything in there in the audio aspect as to whether or not, I had made my request at the end of the session. I was hoping that it was still on tape. Is there a possibility that I can also acquire that?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
You just now, how would I go about that? Is this the formal request? Or
the copies are available. All you have to do is call the office and request from our clerk.
Copy of the tape.
Not for the public,
or even go online. Yeah.
You're posted.
Unfortunately, some of it, like I said, on that particular meeting, I didn't see half of what was discussed, especially in the public comment, and or at least my request at the end.
Do you have access to?
I didn't, but I was able to find, access from someone else, and I didn't see that in there in that particular meeting.
The minutes are always posted on the internet, and also the audio is linked. So there is a link that you can click on that you can hear the whole audio from each meeting.
Well, it would probably be better if I put it in writing.
If you don't have the availability of
the internet,
right. Then just put it in writing and make sure you're specific to the dates you're looking for,
okay.
And just submit it to Joanne.
Lady?
Yes.
To my office, either way. I'll get Randy, I'll see that we have a technology person who has the audio tape, so depending upon what's in your request, I'll be able to steer to who is best able to get the response to you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yes?
Marilyn Dwyer, I would like to just inform you that the audio tapes are not available online. Well, some are and some aren't, but the most recent three I think I looked for are not on there. So if they're available and not being put on, I think that's unfortunate. If there's things that you don't want the public to hear, that's even more unfortunate. But I would like to have those audio tapes online. And I also was looking through the agenda and noticed that the top board goal is to reduce the size and restructure the board. And I just want to voice my concerns over the fact that I find that interesting, that it's the year that we would lose Mrs. Grinberg and Dr. Palmer, two people who have openly disagreed with the majority of you people. And I just think that you need to look at what you're doing, and if you do that, you will end up with a majority of people, probably 5 out of 7, that either receive their benefits directly or indirectly through taxpayer dollars. Either you've got a spouse that works at the school and you get your benefits, or you're retired and you get your benefits. You will not have anybody that has children. You will close down those seats and the opportunity to have that representation on this board, and I think that's unfair to the parents and the taxpayers of this district.
Thank you. Yes?
Yes, my name is Patrick Sullivan. This is my third meeting and the second speaking. And, I'd like to ask, is this on the record, these statements that are made?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I in echo to this is Dwyer's statements regarding the reducing the size of the board. I'd like to offer a thought. Although I'm against reducing the size, and I, for the life of me, can't figure out why you think that by reducing the diversity, we create a more focused and more successful group. That I'm kind of confused about. And the wording in the agenda itself says that both the board would seek to look for community approval for reducing the size of the board. And I'm concerned about that because obviously some of you aren't interested in reducing the size of the board. So does that mean the board as a whole still goes out to seek approval for reducing the size? And lastly, as you work through the formulaics or the mechanics of getting this as a voting referendum, could you have a referendum of two things? One is finding out whether the community is interested in reducing the size of the board. Secondly, having everybody run again, so that you're getting the top 7 or the top 9 vote getters that would, so we'll get your laughing, I don't understand. I'm just trying to offer something, maybe a little bit reformist, mm-hmm. but I think that taking an opportunity to see 2 or 3 board members leave, and then taking the opportunity to covet those positions and not allow anybody to run for them. A way around that would be to everybody throw their name in the hat to the top 7 or the top 9 vote getters with the seats on the board. I guess nobody's listening here, at least it'll go on the record, my comments, and I appreciate that.
Yes.
Thank you. And, oh yeah, was there a convention that happened with you two of them?
New York City? Yes. School boards? No representatives went this year from this board.
Why was that? Or can you answer?
Usually we try not to use the public comment as a question and answer period. If you'd like to see me after the meeting, I can
first. Mr. Levine, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cause any stir here. I don't know that I said anything funny, but there was. I'm sorry.
I just couldn't understand how you could say that it would be unfair to phase out 2. And then have everybody who's already been elected have to run for re-election. It just doesn't have any logic to me.
Stand on
no
your
logic.
Record.
No logic.
Run again.
If one's not fair, the other one isn't either.
I think the public would like to know in a roll call vote who was for this decreasing of the diversity of the board. I think that in itself would be interesting for the community to understand. And then you run on your record. Thank you very
okay,
much.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that'd like to make a comment? And would everyone please sign in so we have documentation of names so we can verify that? Thank you. So that we have that information also. Under presentations, we have a presentation tonight. And I'll turn that over to Mr. Amos.
Very happy to introduce to you, certainly no stranger to our board members, Ms. Sue Coonrod, who is the principal of the middle school. And as I indicated in my update to you, we try to provide, at your request, as a board, we try to keep presentations about school activities that are a benefit for all of us to know in your knowledge and share that with you. Sue is here tonight to talk to you about the middle school literacy goals. And has a PowerPoint presentation, I believe, on this side of the room. So we'll probably want to move over there now. Thank you.
I have a red folder with
thank you.
Slides and some additional information. You don't necessarily need to bring it up.
was running short of pencils.
Thank you.
I said at that time that I would come back and let you know how our program is doing, and so here I am. Thank you again. What we wanted to achieve in the middle school, we wanted to set a measurable goal that we could all work on as a team, as a group, and hopefully that this instructional goal would affect all of the things, content areas that we teach and all of the subjects that we teach in the middle school. So using shared decision making, we took at least half a year to determine what we wanted to work on specifically. We wanted something that all the staff would reach consensus on and something that we could measure and celebrate as a school. We used research. We put together a faculty advisory committee at this time is what it was called. And we all took our turns using research, and we came up with three studies that we really liked. One local, which was the Regional Summit on Education in 2006, and the other two are national studies. And specifically, the regional study summit, you may remember, that taking place at Peru, was the second. The question was, I'm sorry, I haven't practiced this. It was a busy day at work. The question that the summit asked is what preparation needs to be completed prior to entering high school to ensure that students will graduate. Number one was to emphasize preschool and primary literacy, and the number two way to prepare students to finish high school was to improve student literacy overall. The National Center on Educational Statistics indicated that 12th grade reading levels have dropped significantly since 1992. So our faculty in the middle school thought that that was very telling. And the Alliance for Excellence in Education said that 70% of students with literacy problems in the third grade still experience those in the ninth grade. And that approximately 25% of all high school students read 3 to 4 years below grade level. So we shared all of this research at a general faculty meeting, and we came up with our goal. We wanted every child going through our school to read on grade level by the time they get to ninth grade. And we believe that by increasing the literacy skills, we would make an effect on all of the other content areas in the building. And then we focused on three specific areas to work on, beginning in 07-08 and continuing in 08-09. This 05-06 was our preparatory year. Reading comprehension, content area reading, and the reading-writing connection. So what we needed was how do we do it? What are we going to do to increase our literacy skills in the middle school? So in researching how schools who are already there have achieved their goal, I found a publication put out by the National Association of Secondary School Principals called Creating a Culture of Literacy. I put the executive summary, which is only a few pages, in your packet. The book is actually a few hundred pages that I downloaded from the internet, and it's all marked up and everything, but I at least you'll see the gist of the book that I read called Creating a Culture of Literacy. I established what it calls for establishing a literacy leadership team. So teachers from all across the content areas, including the special area teachers, including special education, formed a team to figure out what we needed to do, when we needed to do it, and to garner support from every single person who works in our middle school. So the book has been very valuable. It's based on research-based practices with Model School, and it helps principals lead their school, middle or high school, toward increasing their literacy. So, the literacy leadership team helped us figure out how to do staff development, and we were very lucky to be able to offer it during the school day on our half days, and we also embedded the staff development in our team meetings that we hold weekly with all of the faculty in middle school. This is a little more detail on the staff development. We partnered with SUNY Plattsburgh, who has a literacy education program. In 2006-2007, Dr. Aline Bobbies, who's a content area reading specialist, spent some time with us on our half days presenting strategies on how students can increase their comprehension, not only of literature and novels, but also of science books and social studies books, even math textbooks. In addition to that, every single staff member, including the special area teachers, read this book called I Read It, But I Don't Get It. It's a highly prized book by teachers. It gives specific research-based strategies and different instances in which to use it. The faculty read this book a chapter at a time and discussed it at their team meetings. We formed our own literature circles like we asked the children to do. So we would discuss the topic, how we were going to apply it. We also chose, agreed upon as a team, comprehension strategies that we would all use, a few that everyone would use instead of 57 that no one would use. And we had this reference bookmark to keep our place during our literature circle. So I can't tell you enough about my respect for the staff who did all this willingly and with great enthusiasm and read on their own time and participated in this literacy circle. Middle school staff is the best that you already know. Then the next year, which was last year, Dr. Caroline Knight, who is an expert in the reading and writing connection, came and did basically the same thing. She visited us on a couple of different half days, gave us some writing to learn and learning to write strategies, which the teachers just took off with and started implementing immediately. The book we read last year was called Content Area Writing, and it was a little bit of a thicker book, so the teachers had to read more chapters, but they certainly did that. And it was really wonderful for them to talk about their practice and improving their practice at team meetings. And then also in 2007-2008, we were able to have an AIS teacher just for the area of literacy because of your support, and I thank you for that. Just want to remind you of the history. We used to have two AIS teachers in the middle school, but when Gary Phillips came up to be the Dean of Students, the AIS teacher replaced him in the classroom, and that position was not replaced, so it sort of went away. So with the addition of this literacy teacher, thank you again, we can't live without that person, we're just back up to two AIS people. We don't have an additional one in the middle school. So implementing this adolescent literacy improvement strategy, this looks very simple, and this is just, in the interest of time, I just wanted to give you an idea of what we did. We gathered our own local data with the Gates-McGinnity reading test so we could measure specific students, all students' improvement from year to year, not just how they did on the New York State test. This measures vocabulary, comprehension, and gives you a grade level equivalent. We created the literacy lab classes for 7th grade and 8th grade. Prior to this, there was no remedial reading, just AIS classes. The literacy lab classes focused on building vocabulary, increasing comprehension, and reading fluency. I'll have some of that for you just a minute. The faculty implemented what they learned from their partnership with SUNY Plattsburgh and the books they've read across the board. they analyzed the New York State assessments. We did it in our office with the department chairs, and then we shared it through the departments. They realized where they were weak and when, and they discussed strategies to improve. This data is collected just from the students who were in the literacy lab classes last year, our first year with literacy lab classes. In grade 7, we had 28 students. 75% of those students showed over 1 year of growth in reading just by being in that classroom for approximately 8 months. We do the debate in April. Only 7% showed no growth. Some of the types of students who might show no growth are those who leave the district, those who are absent, or those who switch programs or come in late. Grade 8, we have 17 students. 59% of them showed more than 1 year growth, and 18% showed no growth. So the data is very, very convincing to me that the strategies they're using in the literacy lab classes is working. Last year, we set our goal for mastering or passing of the ELA exam. We wanted to have achievable goals. So we set the 70% mark for each grade level to achieve either a 3 or a 4 on the ELA. And we promised to get the pig. And you know what? 6th and 7th grade did achieve that goal. And we kissed a pig. Mr. Amo puckered up. The assistant principal. It was a beautiful little black pig. He was a little pot-bellied Vietnamese pig with longest eyelashes. He was just so beautiful. So we kissed the pig last year. Overall, our ELA scores we've done very, very well. As you can see, the bars on the New York State ELA achievements, this is the percent of students achieving a 3 or a 4, and these are the last 3 years, grade 6, grade 7, and grade 8. The grade 8 exam, the construct of the exam, is very, very tough. Statewide, middle school struggle to be able to improve incrementally each year. It's just a pervasive statewide problem. But as you can see, we look like the Verizon phone company right here, and we're very proud of our ELA results. 72% in sixth grade, 73% in seventh grade, and 55% in eighth grade passed the ELA. But success wasn't just limited to the ELA classes. With increased comprehension, increased literacy skills, writing skills, we really have improved our achievement across the board. In all of the exams that we give, we analyze the data. How can we improve our instruction? And the teachers have responded in all of the content areas. Look at math. Grade 6 is up at 80% now in 07-08. Grade 7 is at 88%, and grade 8 is at 65%. We showed you how we compare to the other districts in one presentation. And we didn't do so well in sixth grade math. I think right now we would have risen up a few levels, but Mr. Schubert told me that the regional schools report cards aren't available yet, so I couldn't bring that data to you. This is grade 8th grade science. Again, our bars are going up. We could call parents right now if we wanted to. 87% of the students pass the science exam. And what's significant about this is only the 8th grade students that take the regular 8th grade science curriculum. Students who take the accelerated program sit for the regents. So the 88% passing is without the accelerated students. Social studies, we're at 76%. Again, going in the right direction. They decided that they needed some specific instruction in the DBQSA, and they've implemented that. They're doing very, very well. The students who do sit for regents in the 8th grade, 100% passed both math and earth science. 100% passed the proficiency in both French and Spanish, those students that sat for it. So that means that they achieved a credit for their language for Earth Science. Is there a question?
I'll wait.
So up here I have, I'm going to end with the cycle of how to improve adolescent literacy. We are always continuing to improve every year. We analyze our data and our needs and identity scores. Last year, sixth grade English teachers pushed into the sixth grade math classrooms to assist the students on strategies on how to answer the extended response questions on the math exam. And if you remember, sixth grade made a huge achievement in passing up their math scores. The math test is all very common for the extended response question. You have to write that correct for you, or you don't get all of the points that you possibly could. So to summarize, a culture of literacy may not jump right out at you. Sure, if you walk around the middle school, you'll see that the teachers made a poster like this for each of their classrooms. Pre-reading skills, during reading skills, and post-reading skills for comprehension. An acronym for the word PREDICT to help you think about what you're going to read and how you can remember all of the information. You'll see these in each of the classrooms. If you're here during lunchtime, you may see students with their plastic trays coming down to the library to hear a book, to spend literacy lunch with a teacher or an administrator reading them a book over a week or so. You might see English teachers sitting one-on-one with their students up in the middle school lobby upstairs, talking about their book project, talking about the writing they did, about the novel that they read, using one-to-one feedback to hook these students on the importance of reading and comprehending. But some of the stuff that if you walked around, you wouldn't even notice. You would see a social studies teacher previewing the textbook, questioning the students in a certain way to make sure that they understand the content before they move on. You might see in a science class students making a little art project foldable, which is a lot of fun, but it also helps them comprehend and draw the action that's involved in the science experiment or the law of nature. So some of it you would, unless you knew what you were looking for, you might not even see. So I'm very, very proud to be able to share this information with you. Are we where we want to be yet? No, but we know what we're doing is working, and it takes every single person. There's a lot of data and programming, but each person in the middle school has contributed and bought into this and worked very hard and is continuing to come up with ideas on how we can get even better. So if you have any questions.
I have one question. I'm looking at your ELA scores. And if you go from year to year to year, like if you're in sixth grade in 2005 and six, you had a 60%.
Oh, I know.
And then in seventh grade, in 2006-07, the sixth grade class would have been...
The sixth grade class would have been here.
Would have been here at 64%.
Right.
Am I correct? I mean, if you draw a line diagonally across from 2005 to 2008, and then you see a drop again now.
It doesn't make sense. We've done a lot of that, trying to correlate. The same students will improve from fifth to sixth to seventh, and then all of a sudden, because of the way the eighth grade test is constructed, they don't achieve.
We're talking three and four, as you know.
Right.
I was just curious as to, you know, if there was a reason for that kind of a slip in the data.
I am not sure what it is. My colleagues around the state, I go to the middle of the
state. So it's a problem across statewide?
It is. It is statewide.
The question I had, and you may have spoken to this, several of the graphs, science, social studies, the
complexion of students does include, I know it doesn't include summer, it does include all other students in terms of including restricted classes and AIS students and general population.
This is all students, all of them, all of
them.
Except the
So what do we think as far as the literacy at least goes, that would be the programs we started in the elementary school this year, as those students progress and come up more, we should see the results of that as they come into. And do you communicate with the elementary as far as the problems that you see in middle school right now, something maybe they could work on a little differently?
Yes.
Or that's all done too?
Yes. Yeah. Last year we were very fortunate that the department chair was a sixth grade teacher. And he did a lot of collaboration. He helped with the selection of the reading series. Mm-hmm. And yes, the answer is yes. We're hoping to see the improvement when they come up, not only their series, but they put in the early intervention in the K-1s and 2s and the Wilson program. And doing whatever they're doing, we are all for, because it only brings students, better prepared students up to us.
See if I could quickly add to that. On the elementary level, one of the reasons for the reconfiguration of the department chairs into curriculum team leaders was to increase that communication at the elementary to the middle school and high school. Up till now, as Sue's pointed out, it's been basically has fallen squarely on the shoulders of almost a single individual who served as a department chair, who was able to craft out time to have communication at the elementary level, but primarily at the one site. With what we're doing with the lead teacher concept, we now have people at all of our buildings being able to talk to each other and then up the ladder with the kids and the progress that's being made and what strategies are being used.
Where do you go from here? In the eighth grade, they go to the ninth grade. Are you talking with the ninth grade teachers and following these kids right up through to see if these results are really...
Yes, we do follow the students up. There isn't really a correlation, and this is not just in Stafford Middle School, but if a student does poorly or very, very well on the New York State assessments, that doesn't really predict how well they're going to do on the region. It's a different type of an exam. It's
different norming, different length, kinds of things being sought. So comparing test to test, you get student to student comparison, but comparing test to test is very difficult.
Right.
We've got the success in the middle school, and we've got to go into high school. That, to me, the testing really doesn't, the types of test doesn't matter. You still have to have progress in their education.
And I'm stealing your shoulder.
Yeah,
but
no, please.
I'll point out, mention this perfect time for it, that the Board of Regents, as maybe some have already heard or read about recently, the Board of Regents is giving very serious consideration to creating what they call a concept of value-added data. And what that is, cutting through a half a day of in-service that we just recently returned from, it basically means that the state of New York is going to be very soon developing the software they need to give school districts tracking of students, real students, year-to-year progress, not groups to group, but student to student, or students' progress from the time we first start testing. So the answer to your question is it's a little bit premature, it's a great question, but the state has just started to develop the software to say, let's take Tom Smith at grade 6, how did he do in the math score? How much growth should we expect to see of Tom in grade 7? Now, how much did we see? Well, how much now can we expect to see from Tom in grade 8? And that system is going to track every student. They're all going to have their own identifier. So every single student is eventually in the state of New York is going to have a way of being able to be tracked on progress. The importance is manifold. But the most significant immediate importance to a school district is that the idea of schools having to be on remedial action plans because groups are underperforming or didn't perform as well, they're now able to change the criteria because a lot of kids did just exactly what they were supposed to do. Even though a group may not have advanced a lot, the members in the group advanced very well, thank you. And the states and the Board of Regents is very interested in doing that.
My thing is I don't want to see the progress lost because you're making progress in the middle school and then I hit the ninth grade and
Oh, I don't think so. I'll tell you in closing, I'll say
communication between you and Garth.
Oh, absolutely.
As far as
yes. Oh yeah, we work very closely together. In the middle school, we not only are teaching these academics, we are helping students develop socially and emotionally at a prime time in their life. So the academic teachers are supported by the full-time assistant principal, thank you again, the counseling staff, the school psychologists, all of the support staff that work with these students to not only teach them the content and get the scores on the test, but to help them grow as individuals. And that helps them in high school as well. They learn organizational skills and study skills and how to handle ups and downs in their lives before they get to high school. I really think it helps round out the middle school students. Very proud of everyone I work with.
And the ninth grade, the spin-off of continuation of the middle school student becoming a high schooler. As you recall, if any of you attended, the first 2 days of school for the ninth grade students, Freshman Academy, is designed specifically to set the tone for making the transition between middle school to high school in terms of increased expectations, but also setting them up with mentors, high school students who will be their mentors for the year so that they don't slip in that very first year of becoming a high school student.
I have one more question on the literacy lab that you developed for the 7th and 8th grade. I noticed the numbers 28 and 17. What grade level are these students, as far as reading, what grade level are they coming in at, roughly? Are they coming in at a 5th or a 6th grade level of reading in 7th grade, or are they at a 4th grade level? Or
well,
do you have an idea? Or?
Yeah, we do. We test everybody in the school with the they begin any reading assessment, then we rank them. And the lowest students, we make sure that they have the most supports. So they're going to be significantly below grade level, and we say that we take test in the 8th month of that school year, and we try to assist anybody who hasn't made it to, if we're testing them in 7th grade, 8th month, we will want to help anybody who isn't at the 7th grade 0 month. So it depends on how much how much space we have in the classes. We want to keep
it
small.
So obviously you're taking the bottom of that.
Right. And some of the students have achieved 2 years. I've met with a few students who are just so proud of themselves and achieving well.
Well, hopefully this will be remedied with the program at City Elementary School, where they will be coming in at grade level
in the 6th grade. Dent in that area.
I mean, I think that's the goal of both elementary schools, is to bring up to a grade level program.
I'm sure it's going to make a big impact.
It'll certainly help you out.
Yes, ma'am?
I just have one question. Why do they wait to the 8th month into school before the children are pulled aside that need the assistance?
Well, because we tested them the 8th month last year as well. We are trying to measure from year to year how much progress they're making over a one school year. So the first year we tested them, really it gave us a little bit of information, but not as much as when we tested them again in April of the next year. Then we used that growth or lack thereof to determine the supports that students are going to need for the following school year. We do the scheduling at the end of the school year for the following school year. Okay? Does it make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
I was just a little confused.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else? Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Thank you.
Very nice presentation, sir.
I brought your hard copy in the original. So I'm just seeing where you need to change it.
How was your flooding?
But thank you for your help.
Awesome.
That's great.
Thanks, Mike. Back. Oh, is that ours?
Yeah, I think so. It looks like an iPod.
Yep. Okay, we'll resume with number four, minutes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education, which is held on October 14th.
Move it.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Sorry, there was any questions.
Who's the second? Is that Steve or
Steve?
Steve's
second.
Okay.
Under B, resolved that the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the Operations Committee held on October 14th.
Second.
Any questions or comments on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Under item 5, new business. Appointments. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education change the appointment of Susan Bouchard from 11-month typist to a 10-month typist effective 10-20-08. The salary of $16,608.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Under B. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to appoint the following civil service probationary appointment as indicated.
Motion.
Second.
Is that
Leonard?
Me.
Motion. Leonard, second.
Guy, second.
Oh. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? No. Motion carries. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the following permanent civil service appointment as indicated.
Motion.
Second.
Leonard, thank you. And Guy. There's a second.
And Richard.
Twice you called me Leonard. I tried to say something.
Okay. You look at both like.
No, oh, well, but I feel bad for him.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No? Congratulations, sir.
Shane, outstanding year.
Rue our donut.
Thank you. Under D, resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends the Board of Education to appoint to change the appointment, Tony Salas. A 3-year probationary appointment beginning September 1st, 2008, ending August 31st, 2011. In the board meeting minutes of July 1st, 08, to that of the 2-year probationary appointment beginning September 1st of 08 and ending August 31st of 2010. Tony Macellis holds a permanent certificate in the area of pre-K 6. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, Frank. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? No? Motion carries. Under item E, resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the letter of agreement between Dr. Patricia Egan, consultant at the Beacontown Central School District, to provide consulting services for the 2008-09 school year for 2 hours per month as indicated in the student's IEP to a rate of $100 per hour.
Mm-hmm.
Second. Richard? Steve? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? No. Motion carries. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the following permanent civil service appointment as indicated. It's listed below.
Motion.
Second.
Richard, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? No. Motion carries. Under item 2. Unpaid leave. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education approve an unpaid leave of absence for Arnold Trombley as a building maintenance worker effective on 10-7 until 10-31-08. consistent with the Federal Family and Medical Leave Act of 1993, Board of Education Policy Number 9520.2. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? No? Motion carries. Under six, miscellaneous. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to adopt the following textbook. What's the math? Ms. D. Questions?
Yes. We do a textbook adoption every year before the start of school.
Yes.
And so I'm curious, because students are currently in that classroom in this book, did this fall through the press? Or is this part of a regular, like somebody else said, that was supposed to be something that we
want to see? It kind of the latter, and the information came from the college after the CAP course was, you know, we had to run every year and approved, and this, the book that was on the book that had been used was planned to be used, but in conference with, I'm told through the high school office, in conference with the college, they were not going to enable the class to receive CAP credit unless they they required the students to have this book before they would get CAP credit.
So they know that's what they are to class, so
My understanding is that's why the meeting was held. It was because it was discovered by the college that, well, you know, we understand you're doing these units out of the book, but we have this book that we really are requiring.
Well, I guess my other question then would be for another time. There are several CAP courses, and I know
yep.
kids really count on these credits, and they're pretty tough classes, so have the other class CAP curriculum books been looked at to see, like, are we going to get to December and find out, oh my gosh, you know, CAP credit or such and such class, now we need a different book. You know what I mean?
Fair question. I
know there's a CAP coordinator yep. that we work really closely with.
Mm-hmm. And we'll, with the director of curriculum, make that question a task. Given that's the first one that I'm familiar with, I'd like to believe that this is an oddity in its own regard. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
You bet.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? We'll add that one. Resolved that the Board of Education adopts the following 2008-2009 board goals and district goals as listed below.
Motion.
Second. Comments?
Yes. The one goal that I'm going to see board goal, not the district goals. It's the first one, super. To me, it's quite transparent that the majority of this board doesn't want diversity. And I'd like this to be put in the minutes this time. It's a transparent move. We have two board members that are leaving the board. We had five people, at least five, maybe six people with letters of interest this past July for the one seat. In all the years that I've been on this board, we've never had a problem filling 9 seats. So a very large district. And to me, it's a transparent act on this board, from the majority of this board, to control the diversity that sits on this board. I think it's a shame. And I'm going to vote no on all these votes because of this particular vote.
Yes. Steve.
2 weeks ago, that same discussion came up, so we changed that first goal. It was changed to try to get a survey out there to see what the community thought. And that goal was voted down. So the only thing I can assume from that is that somebody had a change of heart after they wanted to change, and that the goals need to be brought forward back the way they originally were. I'm not at all sure if I'm in favor of going to seven-person top board or not. I expressed that at the last meeting. But somebody brought it forward at our meeting that every district in the county has a 7-person board, even districts with larger numbers than what we have. So my opinion was not knowing how I felt about this, if we bring it in front of the voters, they are going to tell us what they want. So I am fine with these the way they are, especially seeing as we tried to change them and it was voted down.
Yes?
Was there some meeting in between the last meeting and this meeting? We never discussed that.
We never discussed what?
Changing the board goals.
We would pull the thing out there. We changed that number one goal. We changed it. It was changed.
Okay, it's been changed since the last meeting and this meeting.
No, it was changed at the last meeting.
If you guys had a meeting, I wasn't invited to again or something like that?
It was changed at the last meeting.
For Frank.
You need to read your minutes.
It was changed at the last meeting, but now it's different.
Yeah, but it was voted down.
Right, it was voted down, so they brought the goals back exactly the way they were.
Mr. Levine suggested that we have another work session to rework this, and I thought that was the consensus of the group here, was that we were going to have another meeting, rework the goals, and then we submit them. And it seems like they're just being somebody decided amongst themselves to resubmit the goals in a different manner. You know, it doesn't seem like there was any consensus involving my input.
I don't think
but
they
I guess my input's not needed on this board. So
they're not resubmitted.
That's why
you want
7 members, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And you see, you guys get that's what screws this whole board up. State your opinion. You don't need to go into these. This board wants this and this board wants that. It's going to go in front of the taxpayer. There's not a problem with that. The only thing you two did is shoot yourself in the foot.
Where
last
does
two
it
weeks
say
ago.
It's going to go in front of the taxpayers here?
To seek voter approval.
Seek voter approval. That goes in front of the taxpayers.
At least in that way, all taxpayers have a chance to say what they feel. Now, this isn't new to the board that we've discussed numbers and terms. We've been discussing numbers and terms since I've been on the board for the past 6-7 years.
I've been on the board 14. I don't want to remember this coming up.
So. I've been on the board for 4 years. I've never heard it before.
We've talked about it.
Well, if you come to more meetings, you might hear it.
I have been to as many meetings as you have been
let's,
to.
Let's, let's move to
come
a vote.
Come on, this is ridiculous.
Let's move
what
to a vote, please.
Except for the last one.
Please.
Have I come to that you haven't been?
Sure.
I'll put my
okay.
Let's
check
the superintendents
anyone.
And all that stuff. You know, come to the.
Richard,
those
please.
Are not
thank
board
you.
Meetings.
Yes, they are.
They're not board meetings.
They are.
I'll move to a vote.
So I'm going to comment to me. And I also remember during that week that you might sit down if there was a suggestion made. And I brought up that I thought it was embarrassing not to have a board goal. As we are supposed to set the tone for the students of the district and also the staff, and not have a board goal related to our self-education. Does anyone else think that's important? If you do not, I will not say anything. I brought it up. There was no comment.
Yes, please.
I seem to recall going to quite a few of these local meetings at Crickets in Area 6 where we get education, and I don't see a lot of the other people there. So I'm tired of constantly being lectured to because I don't go to enough training. I go to enough training, I don't even have time left to do anything else sometimes.
I don't want to speak up dialogue, but I do want to, should have made myself more specific. And I have not been I did not say that including a board on education meant that we were not doing it. But we have to set the tone. And in writing, we can demonstrate, yes, we're going to continue to seek further education on intra and inter-board relevant aspects, legal issues, whatever it is, by attending, da-da-da, just so that it's in print that the community and the staff who are we are requesting to keep updated see that we also valuable among ourselves. That was not at all intended personally. But if we're not going to have another, we're not going to have another board session, right?
That's a decision of the board.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Request for a roll call. It's granted.
Richard Levine.
And this is to adopt them as they are?
Yes.
Yes.
George Palmer?
No.
Ty Falcon?
Yes.
Frank Hay? Yes.
No.
Kathleen Grinberg Funes?
No.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Karen Armstrong's absent. Steve Trumbly?
Yes.
Stan Crosby?
Yes, I think we need to have our goals adopted and move forward. Motion carries. Under 7, policy. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policies as indicated, and we have them listed below.
I move the list.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstained? No. Motion carries. Under 8, financial. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education accept the following donation and approve amending the district's budget to be increased in the amount of $500. This is an ExxonMobil grant.
This is an additional one.
So
it comes up to $1,000.
I think I covered it under my update. If I'm remembering correctly, I presented to the board that we'd received a letter under my good news section of the superintendent's report, but I don't think we brought it forward as a resolution at that time. So this is the actual resolution to accept it. I was informing you we just heard about it, and I was including it under my comments, but this resolution would affect, say, accept or not.
So there's only been one $500 donation, two total $1,000.
That's, yes, correct.
Roll call, please.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
George Palmer?
Yes.
Ty Falcon?
Yes.
Frank Hay?
Yes.
Kathleen Grinberg Funes?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Steve Trumbly?
Yes.
Stan Crosby?
Yes. Under B, resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends the Board of Education to approve the following transfers, which are over the $5,000 limit we set.
Move the list.
Questions? Comments?
I can't find this open up in the handbook before. The COI, the money that we're moving, since it's so early in the season.
The reason we're moving that out of fuel oil so early in the season.
Right.
Well, we found ourselves in a position where we had sent 15 students to CV Tech that we did not have budgeted for. And
he's just asking about the fuel oil item being the transfer. Why out of that particular account?
Because we had to come up with. We had to encumber this money because we know we have to pay for these students to go to BOCES. So we found areas where we had some money early on in the year, and we're hoping that that we have enough in those accounts. If not, towards the end of the year, we would be able to transfer money back into that account if we find that we need it. But we had to come up with this money to encumber for the BOCES
bill. At the present time, Kathleen, the fuel oil, the diesel prices have dropped significantly, as well as the at the pump prices. And so the increases from over last year's budget, which required us building on that increase, don't seem to be, quote unquote, don't seem to be as nervous a time for us. And so I think Ron is continuing on with Ron's thought. It became a cost center to look at. Based on the trend of the cost of the fuel oil, and can we afford to do it out of this account? And the answer so far is yes.
I just thought it was important to bring it up in case you read our minutes because it's a hot button. And the other thing I'll put on was, and I'm really glad that we have more kids going to CSEC because traditionally, you know, we have said, how can you not screen these kids? Maybe you can't screen them well enough, you know, and to get them a lot of really bright kids that can benefit them. However, why did we found this in summer school. On what amount? How come all of a sudden we have 15, we have pretty expensive centers? How can they just send kids and like, oh yeah, now we need money. Like, where's that checks and balances?
Yep.
I think that's a bigger issue. I don't know if you're prepared to speak to tonight.
I think I can a fair amount, actually. I asked the high school to research that very question because anticipating that hefty increase that we hadn't planned to have needs an answer. And what we discovered is that the budget would have allotted for 60 students, meaning this current year budget would have allotted for 60 students. You see the magic number here has now grown to 15 additional. That's 75 kids. Where the 15 kids come from. There was two transfers into the district from outside the district, which carried with them CV Tech designations, so those are costs that we incur because it's in their program. Mm-hmm. We had two students added from Champlain Valley Education's system, meaning their directive was that these students, as part of their working with the kids, needed to be involved in the program. That picked up two more. The biggest bulk, and we have another student transferring from Seton High School, but the biggest chunk came from eight students who were identified with IEPs that when we developed our budget to come up with the 60, or concluded the 60, that budget was presented and passed by the voters, and then these IEPs were finally resolved over the summer. They were written into their IEPs after the fact. It's a process we can change. We want to take a hard look at it and keep that from happening this year. Certainly the Director of Special Services is keenly aware that that's certainly my expectation, that either we get, and it's hard to really get a good count, quite frankly, because we're asked to submit the counts to BOCES like in February, and there's so much that happens in a young person's life between February and when we start opening doors again in the fall, that it's a little bit of a guessing match, but Garth's number of 60 kids, with the exception of these changes that I just noted, almost takes us right on the money. So the money budgeted should have been enough to serve the kids. These exceptions this year speak to why there's such an increase. We definitely want to, we can't do much with transfers in. I mean, students and families transfer in when they do. But we're not expecting that to be a flood of students, certainly associated with CV Tech. What we can expect to do a more diligent job on is being certain that during the IEP review process, if in fact it looks like students might have this recommendation, we need to know that before we submit the budget. So our actual requests that we're making for budgeting matches up with the kids that we're going to give the assignments to. And I think we all agree that once in, how to explain to the family that this wonderful set of skills and programs are being made available, we have to pull your child out because we didn't budget that slot. Obviously, that can't work. So we have to find ways to get us through the hurdle, and that's what these budget transfers are about this year.
Yes, Richard.
Once it's an IEP, we have no choice.
Correct. Once developed in the IEP and agreed to by the parties, that's where the mandate, if you will, is to provide the service. And the thing here is a timeline issue. Would we increase the slots if we knew? Of course we would. We would therefore have to make transfers. Would we want IEPs written fast enough so that we know we have to increase the slots? That's the goal I'm referring to. And that's what we will get better at.
Yes. George.
Richard's point that, you know, once it's in the IEP, I know we need to act on it, and we should act on it. We all want students, regardless of their level, to be taken care of appropriately. But, you know, I just want to make sure that people develop the IEP, realize it's cast to the taxpayers.
Yes.
These are local taxpayers' costs, and is there a better way to do it for the student, less expensive? We need to make sure they're aware of that. You know, every meeting we're approving more consultant care for presumably as a result of IEPs. And, you know, I just want to make sure that every time we're doing it because there's absolutely nobody on staff that can do it.
Yep.
Because it's the only alternative for this, you know, that child, and we're not just doing it because it's the easy way out.
You know, agreed.
Use our staff first.
Yes, sir.
I have one comment also I'd like to make, and I was going to wait till additional items, but it does reflect to this. And I would like to speak to the amount that we're paying now at City Tech. It's getting extremely expensive. The school this year has got a record number of students going to that school. And they're laying off a couple of the people that are directly working with the students, which is kind of upsetting that we're sending our students there and they're reducing time on task for what I call the Indians in the field. It's $9,000 a student. Something's got to be addressed, I think, as far as the amount that we're spending. And I'd like to write a resolution and send it over, if the board would allow me to speak on behalf of the board on looking at the price tag, as you would say, and George to tag along with what you're talking about with financial. This is going way too fast. I just don't understand it.
I think this should be discussed in an additional item. It's really too fast.
Well, it's.
I mean, as an additional item, you should bring it up.
Yeah. Any other comments on transfers? Thanks, Frank. I probably shouldn't make that presentation. All in favor?
Roll call.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Sorry.
George Palmer.
Yes.
Guy Falcon.
Yes.
Frank Hay.
Yes.
Kathleen Grimberg Funes. Leonard King.
Yes.
Steve Trumbly.
Yes.
Sam Frosky.
Yes. Under additional items, I really think we need to send a message with our representative and put a resolution out saying, you know, the costs are starting to get up there. We've been trying to cut costs on every level, looking at a lot of different things. I think this is another one we need to look at and address.
Before we do a resolution, I'm not fully aware of what I thought it was more than 9,000. But I don't know all the particulars. Show me that pie, what that 9,000 does. I don't start getting inclusion and exclusion criteria for children. That's really kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
I always argue that the child needs this. But I don't know anything about that to sign my name to a resolution to say this is too high. I would like more information about what that $9,000 is.
What do we get for our money?
Yeah. Well, that's basically what the request was. It's a resolution to you know, justify why we're getting such a high price.
I need to know. I don't necessarily know that it's high. Maybe it's really a great deal. I'm sure the superintendent can give us information to tell us how that stacks up against the level of students or.
Okay. How much it's gone up over the last few years? How fast it's gone up?
Yes,
I got 2 points. I know we're spending around a little over $3.8 million a year on BOSIs, so it's a chunk of our money. So I can see the concern there. My only concern is this, is since I've been in CB Tech and understand how they work, they set their prices by how many kids attend. So my question would be, if we're sending 15 more kids the same, you know, we're sending 15 more kids there, why is the price the same? That would be my question. Saying if it was, I know it wasn't 9,000 last time, okay, it was 8,000 something, and it probably could have gone up.
It's a little over 9 now.
So my point is, if you're going to send, and they have, you're saying they have record attendance, and I think that's true, but it's in different areas. I don't know, it's all in the same spots that were before. But the more kids you send, you should get less per kid. So my point, we're going to send another $100,000 to CB Tech. But where's the price coming down for sending that many more?
The other thought I had, as you mentioned in the beginning of your concern that they were laying off some people in the field. I mean, I don't know about that either. I mean, in any kind of an organization with management decisions can be based on just trying to be more efficient, you know, shuffling people around, people get promoted, people get tired, just like here. I mean, just to, for me to just say, well, or think someone's, they're downsizing staff and they're charging us more money, that's a natural probably conclusion to make, if that's not the right thing. But I don't know how they manage.
Very true. Very true. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think, you know, CB Tech needs to control their budget, and I think it's reasonable to tell our representative to tell them to be budget conscious, but I don't think they should. I mean, you're not privileged to them, don't understand their budget, so I'm not going to be comfortable signing a resolution. You know, just like we need to control our budget, ways we can control our budget, whether it's the number of kids that go to both seats or whatever, you know. How many we bring back in and do services in here. Those are things that we can do, and I don't want both seats telling us what we should and should not do, and I don't think we should be telling both seats what they should be doing with their employees or how much, you know, we're willing to charge. You know, that's their independent business.
Yes, guy.
That's it for August.
If you said that they're based on the number of pupils that are going to school, so you can negotiate, is it a contractual thing? That has to be done at the beginning of the year?
Can you negotiate it?
Yeah. And Richard, you want to answer that?
Just to give a quick rundown on how BOCES work. So they don't have a budget like we have. But they have about 20 different sections, and when they figure out the budget for that section, each section has to pay their share of the lights, they have to pay their share of the gas, they have to, it's all broken up by whatever division you're in, whatever section. And when they get down the end of the year, they go, well, this is how many kids we're going to have that are signed up, and this is what it's going to cost those kids, and say it's $8,000. Well, if they have less kids, they can't come back and ask for it. They have to eat it. But conversely, if you have more kids, then you got more money coming in. They don't have any control over that. So every kid coming in comes out has a physical impact on them that division can't do anything about.
So what you're basically saying, they set the price at the beginning of the year, and that's it. So
basically,
if we send 65 kids, and another school sends 50, and it was 5, and we add 5, and we're subdividing.
Yeah, but it's not guaranteed it'll be our 5 kids. Once you give up a slot, it's no longer yours. They fill it as they see fit. So you don't know if you get the 5.
So basically, you can't really negotiate anything. You've got a flat rate that's paid at the beginning of the year.
They figured.
Yes.
So what you're talking about is a closed ticketing.
Yeah.
As part of the budget process, maybe it'd be helpful to keep the guidance. And you see what you can review. You go through what we always do, the closed ticketing. And you want that, you don't want that. Those are big chunks of cash.
We could get someone from both of you to explain it if you want.
There is a mention also of Champlain Valley Board publishes their budget document and their summary document every year. And so one could, or anybody could, use the document as your talking point to draw your own conclusions about costs up or down, etc. That's one way that it could be a kind of an action discussion group. This group could look at it and talk about those issues. Secondly, we certainly could inquire deeper as to some explanations on the wherever there are costs that seem to jump and spike, as the case may be, or where they may have gone down. I know I feel pretty strongly Mr. King would not be adverse to be able to explain those pieces, but I did want to point out that they do publish a document and you can be able to compare year to year and kind of see your numbers anyway.
One point I'd like to make. Kathleen and the coaches,
yeah.
That's a different piece of pie. We vote on that separately. That's not under the student price tag.
No, but you were talking about the discussion.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, no. The coasters go underneath the administrative piece, which we vote on separately.
Exactly.
And we do have control because we do vote no. Yes.
The only thing about a coaster is if it's something that you need, it's going to be cheaper through them because they have more people signed up. So say you use them for asbestos removal, it's going to be cheaper through them, even though we have to pay a fee, than it would be to go out and get it done ourselves. That's what it's coaster. Mm-hmm. But if you don't need it, you don't do it.
Some of the coasters are pretty standard from year to year. meaning you wouldn't expect to see fluctuations other than their overall increase to do the COSA, 2, 3, 4%, whatever it would be. Many of them are like that. But we build, just so the board will know, that when the administration sits down to start talking about building a plan for the next budget year, we look at all those COSAs and ask the questions of what each other, did this COSA do for you what you wanted? Is this the benefit that it is claimed to be for the price that's being required of us this year? And we go down the list and make decisions, yes, no, yes, yes. We sometimes drop closures and then bring them the package to you as a board. Sometimes we leave them pretty much the way that you saw them the year before with whatever increase. The ones where the greatest volatility come in are programs, the one like we're talking about now, because when we sign an agreement with BOCES, it's done, as I said, so early. It's February, March, I believe. We have to make a commitment. If our numbers decrease, we're still committed to the cost. So if we don't have 60 kids, for example, this year, and we drop to 55, we're still paying for 60 students because that decision was made and their budget was developed in February on that number. It's really...
I don't know if that's true. You sure?
Yep.
Because I was told there that if your kid comes out, you only pay as long as they were there.
No. Well, we don't get any... We don't get any kickback. We get a checkpoint letter later in the year, but beyond that date, there's no return.
So what prevents you from lowballing?
We don't, in what sense?
Well, if you're board contracting for 60 kids, I'm saying lowballing, and you're 50, and you send 60,
well,
are they obligated to do 50?
The 50 we contracted with, if you will, yes. Is there any guarantee that the 10 additional requests we are making, they will honor it? No. There's no guarantee on our increasing the number. The only guarantees come with the number you ask for is what they factor into budgeting their entire budget, and lights, heat, the personnel, room, all that stuff is all formula. They have there's not a formula. It's a drive down to what's it going to cost to run this class? How many students do we need to have in this class? How much, therefore, do we charge each component school district for having their portion of this class run? And as I said, if our number, any school district's numbers dropped, they've already hired the people and paid the lights and paid the gas on the assumption they're all showing up. So they don't kick the money back. That's why it's extremely important, as we come back, I'm being more long-winded than I probably need to, but on a number like 60, we want to guess pretty close, way back in February, March. And this year we would have been. It would have been almost to the person. But these anomalies kicked in. We couldn't anticipate those.
Did the anomalies kick in last year?
No. No. To my knowledge. I mean, I've never verified exactly how much above or below, and Ron can help me with that, but not like this. Not like maybe
this
one
student. This was an
unusual event. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that brings me another question. Since I sit on the TV tech board, it brings up another question that I have. So if it's true, and I assume that you do know, and you're telling me that once you lose a slot, you still pay for it, do they give that to another school and they don't pay anything?
Don't know.
They will leave that slot open for an additional student from this school if one happens to come in anywhere through up to January, even beyond.
But I've been told at the board that once you give one up, you're not guaranteed to get it back. So I'm gonna have to research this. I'm getting conflicting information.
Yeah, that's the question.
Okay, I'll find out
if that's changed. My only piece that I was interested in, and the board's kind of gone into this deeper depth tonight, was considering was just to ask in a resolution. Kind of try to hold line, but things are kind of getting tough all around. And as far as what they're doing with their administration and how they're spending their money is not what I was getting into. It was just the fact that we're getting up there pretty high for student costs. And as a school district, I think we need to say, hold the line. Take a look at this.
How can you say that if you don't know what that dollar amount is? Maybe you are fine. Is it $9,000 that you lost, something that you used to get, or are you getting more for that $9? And do we value that $9,000 for what we're getting, the cost benefit ratio? I mean, I don't know those reasons. How can you just say,
you know, $3 is too much for a loaf of bread.
Depends what kind of bread you get, yeah.
If you're going to do a resolution, because I'm sure we're not the only school board, there's other school district in the county that has to deal with this type of situation. And if you're going to do a resolution, it would be more effective if you had all the school board.
It would be. Would be. Yes.
Well, my comment is has to do with it, and I agree with Kathleen that how do we know that's being well spent or not? But the point is that 12-13% of our budget, and if we're looking at everything else, we need to look at that too. So I don't, like, I'm gonna pursue these questions that people had and get an answer and see what really is happening, and actually get explained to me why things are the way they are. And if we're paying for a slot that we don't get, I got a problem with that. So it's just another thing. And the reason that there's a board member from every school on the reason there's a board member on for 15 schools on the BOCES board is they don't get their money from the state. They get their money from us. And as the state watches what we're doing because they're giving us the money, we need to watch BOCES because we're giving them the money. We have to account for the money just like anybody else. And I'm not saying that we need to lower it, raise it. I have no clue. I think it's just something else we need to look at in the economy we're having.
All right, I don't want to really rule it out. Is there any other items to discuss? And we do have an opening for public comment. Anyone would like to make a... Yes? As a representative of the board, meet with you with the administration at your convenience, if you would like, to review everything, if that's okay with the board, or other board members would like to...
Can we give her a time frame?
Yeah.
Like, a date?
Up to her.
At her convenience.
Is that...
Tomorrow? It's possible.
I'm available tomorrow if you're available tomorrow. Fine. Could you check in the morning to see if the superintendent does have a check lock? Oh, you are? Just give us a moment, we can get into the calendar. What time in the morning would you be available? You want to meet before that? Can you meet before that?
This morning.
Okay.
I'm good.
10 o'clock? Be enough time to give us an hour and a half to work. Yeah. So.
Where?
At the superintendent's office.
My conference room. Here. Thank you.
Any other? Yes.
I don't want to come in with this reduction. I just want to ask you about the same. As far as the my name is Patrick Sullivan. As far as the referendum to vote for reducing the size of the board, working that out, would that in turn be a separate vote, or would it be in tandem with those existing positions that are currently open?
I can fill you in on that. If there's a referendum that's coming up, it's not going to take effect next year. It's just can't happen that fast.
Well, I appreciate you. My point is that there are few individuals that would like to run. And if they're disenfranchised by reduction of the board, it may be wise to again think about having a total board to at least allow participation in this. While if it doesn't happen, you simply don't have an election to report.
We'll consider it.
Okay.
Yes?
I was listening, obviously, to the concern of the money that we spend to send a student to CD Tech. As what I've seen, there was quite a bit of discussion about it. And obviously, it's an expense to the taxpayers, of course, and the overall budget for the school. Now, is there as much a concern by the board to reduce the cost of health insurance as well, to so the taxpayers aren't burdened with such a taxpayers' budget kind of deal, where we're spending that much more on there. I believe it's in the best interest of the taxpayers to have the students achieve the best education possible. So, if you're going to take money away from them, by not sending them to the CD Tech, there's other opportunities here to be able to make a difference and freeing up some of that money. And one of them, obviously, is the insurance that is obviously the Cadillac plan for the community here, especially for the teachers and staff.
Thank you. Yes?
Well, I'd like to express my concern over when we started to talk about the money for student affordability, that prefaced it with the fact or somehow in the beginning that they were laying off people. And I just want to make sure that the concern is what we're spending, not who might be getting laid off that you don't think should even be getting laid off.
Thank you. Any others? We are going to go into executive session, and there is one other item that I'm going to make executive session is needed. On contract. And before I do that, I have to have a nomination for a clerk pro tem.
I nominate Stan Cross.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Executive session will be to discuss persons employment history, teachers' collective bargaining negotiation, and board information.
Second. Steve is what I'll move to.
I didn't know if you wanted to address the board. On the letters,
I got two items.
On the letters,
two items.
What's that?
Two items.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Oh, okay. I know my list.
Oh. You didn't get my email either?
No.
Okay.
No, I think it's all fine.
Yeah, hold on. Yes.
We didn't vote on the executive session yet.
We didn't vote on your...
Yeah, the clerk pro temp. Yes, yeah. That was carried.
Yeah, that was done.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
I guess I did vote, yes.